All right, I'm calling the meeting back to order. We had started with an in-camera session at 5:15. There are three items that were considered in closed session. The first was, actually the first and second, were regarding a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board. And the third was regarding a position, plan, procedure, criteria, or instruction to be applied to any negotiation carried on or to be carried on by or on behalf of the municipality or local board. Regarding the first item, so this is title issues regarding lands north of Maud Street, direction was provided to staff in camera. The second item is regarding a cemetery transfer, and we have a motion out of in camera for that. So I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the recommendation that council direct staff to proceed with the acceptance of the Robertson Kella Cemetery and notify the Bereavement Authority of Ontario of council's decision. Mover and seconder for that. Councillor Maiden and Councillor Dalgety, any further discussion? Seeing not, all those in favor? Thank you. And item three was a request to waive conditions, and direction was provided to staff and camera on that item as well. And with that, we'll rise for O Canada and remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. Thank you. So I just again want to welcome council back from summer recess. I also want to welcome any residents and members of the public who are watching our very first video live stream. This is a little different than how we normally do our business in our council meetings. So just to give everyone the lay of the land here, all members of council are in the chamber with us this evening, and we have our admin team in the room with us as well. Other members of the staff team are listening from their offices or from home. If you tuned in a little earlier while we were in camera, you would have seen a blank screen. If you see a blank screen, it means that we are in camera, and then the rise and report will come after we are back in open session. And with that, we'll move along into the agenda. First item is an approval of the agenda. I'm looking for a mover and seconder. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Dalgety, all those in favor? Thank you. And disclosure of pecuniary interest in general nature thereof. You can make that statement at this time or when the item arrives on the agenda if that pertains to yourself. Next is approval of minutes. We have minutes dated June 25th, June 26th, and July 23rd to be approved as presented in your agenda package. Looking for a mover and seconder. Councillor Maiden. Councillor Holmes. Anything arising from the minutes? Okay, seeing not, all those in favor? Thank you. Those three sets of minutes are approved. There are no delegations, deputations, or presentations this evening. No public meeting, which brings us to the one item coming from the Committee of the Whole report, and that's the resignation of the Director of Planning, Nicole Dwyer. So the recommended motion being that Council accept the resignation of Nicole Dwyer, Director of Planning, with regret, and that Council authorize Mark Revay of J.L. Richards & Associates Limited the authority to carry out the duties of the Director of Planning in consultation with the Chief Administrative Officer as identified in Bylaw 13-18, Delegation of Authority, until such time that a new Director of Planning is appointed or the agreement of services with J.L. Richards & Associates Limited expires. So looking for a mover and seconder for this motion. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Holmes. Any discussion? Councillor Maiden.
Just to note that Mark Revay, I think, is quite familiar with the municipality. He's done some work for us before. Thank you.
Yes, certainly has. Any other comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion? Thank you. That carries. And that brings us to a list of bylaws. I'm looking for a mover and seconder for this list, please. Councillor Maiden? Councillor Ferguson? Is there any of these bylaws anyone wishes to pull for separate vote or discussion? Okay, seeing not, all those in favor? Thank you. The bylaws passed. Any announcements or invitations? Kind of hard to do invitations this these days, I suppose. With that, then, the confirmatory bylaw, I'm looking for a mover and seconder. The confirmatory confirms the proceedings of this afternoon. Deputy Mayor Minnelli and Councillor Dalgety, all those in favor? Thank you. And adjournment, looking for a mover and seconder for adjournment. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Holmes, all those in favor? Thank you. So we are adjourned, and we'll take a short break while we move into the Committee of the Whole, which Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Dalgety, my goodness. Councillor Dalgety will call to order in a few moments. If you are at home, you'll have to switch to the feed for the second meeting. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I'm supposed to remind everybody that. So we'll call the meeting to order. Disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature thereof. Or you may declare a pecuniary interest at the time of the mention of the item. So we'll start with a mover and seconder to approve the agenda. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Holmes. Any discussion about the agenda? All in favor? It's carried, thank you. Mover and seconder, approve the minutes. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor? Carried, thank you. Consent reports, the motion that the minutes from the Community Policing Advisory Committee, Library Board, Mississippi River Power Corp, and the Committee of Adjustment be received. Mover and seconder, please.
Maiden, I have joined the conference.
Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson, any discussion on any of these items? Councillor Maiden?
Just want to point out that the Library Board was working all through the pandemic shutdown. Thank you.
Any other discussions? All in favor to receive these consent reports? It's carried, thank you. We're on Section F, staff reports, road and public works. Do we have Director Armstrong on board?
Teleconference is live.
Mom? Yeah. Well, it says something about a conference.
Okay, so Roads and Public Works Activity.
Has left the conference.
Roads and Public Works Activity Report. Mover and seconder. Councillor Ferguson, Mayor Lowry, Acting Director Armstrong, who would wish to speak to this?
We just give Mr. Armstrong just.
David Armstrong's here.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong, do you wish to speak to this section, the activity report?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Councilor Dougherty. So essentially, the activity report is just a broad look at what we have occurring.
Maggie has left the conference.
Within the Roads and Public Works Department, there's a couple of items that weren't added onto it just because they weren't completed yet. I just wanted to make council aware that the pedestrian crossing on Patterson Street has been relocated as of today, and the other paint markings on Patterson Street will be removed in the coming days into next week. I think that's really all I had to speak to, and I'll turn it back over to members of council if they have any questions.
Thank you. Members of council, any questions or comments? Councillor Maiden?
Thanks, through the chair. Thanks, Mr. Armstrong. I just had a couple of questions. One was about the wild parsnips program being underway right now. Is it a little bit late this year? Like, do they normally spray earlier, or can you elaborate? I know it was a cold spring.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Councillor Maiden.
Under the water storage facility tenders, can you say, I'm not sure if you can or not, have any been disqualified out of the tenders that you received? It says that you're reviewing them.
Mr. Armstrong?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you able to hear Councillor Maiden's question?
Sorry, can you repeat that, Councillor Dougherty?
Were you able to hear Councillor Maiden's question to you?
I can hear you now, yes. I didn't hear anything after I had a brief breakdown of the report.
Okay, I'm going to ask her to repeat the question for you.
With the water storage facility tender award, were any disqualified, or are you at that stage yet? Can you hear me? Thank you. Mr. Armstrong, you're looking at the tenders for the water storage facility. Have you disqualified any? Can you tell us how many you've received?
Or the question, how many companies?
Well, how many tenders did you receive, and have you disqualified any at this point?
We received five permissible tender submissions for the tender.
Thank you.
Do you want to try that again, or are you okay?
Okay, and you haven't got to the point of disqualifying any yet, have you?
I have a letter of recommendation from J.L. Richards, and I have that report being submitted this evening for August 25th, Committee of the Whole.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any more questions for Mr. Armstrong? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
So these securities that are being released all... So Dave, can you hear me?
I can hear you clear, yes.
These securities that are being released, the all the work's completely finished?
Oh, are we talking about the Mill Run Phase 1?
Yep.
Yes, to my knowledge, they are.
1C, yeah, Phase 1C, in accordance with Section 15 of the subdivision agreement. Not there?
Hold on, Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Okay, I'm on the wrong, I'm on F2. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Ferguson and then Councillor Holmes. Councillor Ferguson first, please.
Yes, thank you. On page 38, under water, wastewater, last bullet, the septage receiving area works were completed late in July. What were those works?
Yes, Councillor Ferguson. Last year, Mississippi Mills proceeded to sort of alter the septage receiving area for any spillage in that area. We placed a catch basin in, but it had to be altered as after the ministry inspection of it. So what we had to do there was relocate the catch basin, and we piped the structure of that catch basin back into the wastewater treatment facility, into their direct headworks. So that was completed. We had not so much an order, but more or less a corrective action issued by the ministry upon finishing it back last fall, and it was to be completed by July 31st, which we were able to have completed by a contractor.
Great, appreciate it. Thank you.
And Councillor Holmes.
Councillor Holmes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Armstrong, I have two questions. The first one is related to the wild parsnip program. You mentioned that the spraying was started in mid-August. Is that a bit late, or is that pretty well on schedule?
So we tried to aim for July for the program, and speaking with our contractor, Wagner and Corbett, you can essentially spray wild parsnip anytime it's flowering. On most years, that usually runs into the end of September. Speed was one of the representatives. They were spraying in Renfrew County last year until the end of September. So as long as the plant's still flowering, the spraying is still effective.
Okay, thank you. I do have another question about the roof repairs to the wastewater treatment plant. I notice you say there's further investigation required to eliminate any other potential issues. Are you anticipating more potential issues and possibly more cost with that repair?
Thank you for the question. So I'm anticipating a little bit more work with regard to investigating to find out if there's any, if there's going to be any more lingering issues with it. So essentially what the consulting engineer that inspected the chamber wants to empty that chamber and then get inside and investigate it. It was supposed to be constructed with a waterproofing membrane inside of it, and they can't verify if it was or wasn't without actually getting inside of that chamber. So Aqua is in the middle of now focusing that chamber into the next chamber of the plant to allow for the consulting engineer to get in and do a thorough investigation on it. If it wasn't constructed with a waterproofing membrane as it was designed to be, there will be a bit more extensive work in it. I haven't got an approximation on cost with it. It should be within the budget. If not, there. Speaking with Aqua, we have a surplus and a couple of other items with them on our capital line that should cover any additional work as well that this may incur.
Thank you very much.
Is there any more questions on F1? So we have a recommended motion.
ADS has joined the conference.
Recommended motion on this one. All in favor of the motion? It's carried. We'll move on to F2, assuming phase one of Mill Run. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson. Questions or comments on assuming phase one of Mill Run? Deputy Mayor Minnelli, did you want?
Yes, I see you were releasing 300 and oops, sorry.
Just one sec.
Oh, sorry.
We're Dave, can you hear me?
Sorry, yes, I hear you. Sorry, I was on mute that time. Sorry about that.
We're authorized to release the final securities of $312,000, right? For work,
yes,
work being done.
On the line as well.
And is there any held back, any securities, or is that the total amount? I can't.
My understanding is that's the totaling amount of the securities for this phase.
For that phase, okay, thank you.
Any more questions or comments? Councillor Maiden? We'll have to get the pod over to you. Push the mic, Councillor Maiden, please.
Mr. Armstrong, it's Councillor Maiden. I notice there's two conditions still, and are you anticipating any problems with them meeting those two conditions?
Through the chair to Councillor Maiden, no, I'm not anticipating any.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments? I've seen none. All in favor of this recommended motion? Carried. Okay, so we'll move on to F3, building and planning. F3 is zoning bylaw amendment Z0220, lot 11 and 12, plan 6262, Almont Ward. It's a recommended motion. I'll read this one, that the Committee of the Whole recommend a council approve the zoning bylaw amendment to change the zoning on the lands known as 143 Marshall Street, Almont Ward, Municipality of Mississippi Mills, from residential second density R2 to residential third density.
Have left the conference.
Special exception holding R3XH, where the special exception will prescribe a minimum lot area of 160 square meters, minimum exterior side yard setback of 3 meters, minimum rear yard setback of 6 meters, maximum lot coverage of 65%, and a maximum net density of 55 units per hectare, subject to a holding provision pending the submission of a stormwater management report to the satisfaction of Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority and the Municipality of Mississippi Mills. Okay, get a mover and seconder for this motion, please. Councillor Gerard, Councillor Holmes, and 1 second. You can go
Maggie,
ahead.
Are you on the line? Maggie yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so just in case there's any questions from members of council, can you be ready? Okay, thank you.
Okay, so as we're learning here, we're gonna have to move around this pod as we go with questions. And to start with, is there any questions or comments on this motion? Councillor Maiden?
Through the chair, I would note that there seemed to be a lot of public objection to I think two issues, the density of the proposed construction. It's basically takes up the whole lot, and they're asking us to make exceptions as far as setbacks and so forth go. And having toured the area, like particularly now, it probably would be quite a lot of puddles and so forth. There seems to be issues with drainage, not just at this lot, but in the area. Now, I think maybe Councillor Delgatty has looked into this a little bit deeper than I have and may want to speak to it, but just wondering, Maggie, if you could talk to the public opposition a little bit.
From a number of residents in the area. Upon further inspection, it appeared that the petition did not meet our municipality's petition requirements. However, a new petition has not been resubmitted to date. In terms of the public objections, in terms of planning, the only objection or concern that has not yet been addressed adequately is around the drainage and stormwater management, which is why Nikki had suggested or recommended in the staff report a holding provision so that the developer would be required to submit a drainage plan and stormwater management plan to the satisfaction of the municipality and MBCA before the holding could be lifted.
Thank you, Maggie.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you, Maggie. Just Denny Ferguson, just an extension of Councillor Maiden's question, has the holding provision and submission been submitted yet by the developer?
The developer has submitted a revised rating plan and servicing brief for review by the municipality and the conservation authority. I'm not certain at this point if it has yet been reviewed by either Public Works or the MBCA. Okay. However, there has been one submitted.
Thank you. And the potential time frame of review by MBCA, is that a lengthy process?
Generally, no. It looks like the applicant had sent the plan for review on the 7th of August, so it hasn't yet been a week. I do expect to hear back fairly soon. They generally are pretty quick to review applications.
Good. Thanks very much.
Any other questions or comments? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Who is it? Oh. Hi, Maggie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm just looking at the our little diagram we have on page 43. And you can see Neil Corp's lots, their building beside it. If I count the doors there, I see a 5-unit apartment building, right?
Yes, there are townhomes that have
5-unit ones. So if I drew a line across the lot line that you have lined out here, it'd only be the width of 4 units. That's what I see, the length of the lot. So if you just carried this line right across here, that's 4 units, not 5. And that's my only question. So are you jamming an extra unit on this lot, do you think?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Do you think that they're jamming an extra unit on this lot?
I can't say that I know the answer.
Okay.
I don't think the difference between 4 units and 5 units is very significant in terms of the comments surrounding grading and drainage. So those grading and drainage and stormwater management problems exist, and they will exist whether the development is 4 units or 5 units.
Thank you. Very good answer. Thanks, Maggie.
Councillor Gerard.
Hi, Maggie.
Can you hear me?
Hi, it's Councillor Gerard. I was going through some of the letters, and I have a question with regards to the reply that we received as the comments from the actual developer. It's their representative who replied. And in that, they have suggested that if we do not accept this rezoning, with the existing zoning that is available, that they would actually be able to put on 2 units and then as well add a third option or a third available space onto the 2 different properties, therefore being able to put 6 different units on the 2 lots. Is it possible for the zoning that it is sitting at right now, R2, to get a third unit put on to a duplex? Would it still have to go through a minor variance?
I don't have the letter in front of me, so I can't. I don't know specifically about the contents of the letter. In terms of the duplex and having an additional unit, I'm not exactly certain what that refers to. I think it may refer to our secondary dwelling unit policies, which would permit an additional residential unit within one of the duplex units.
Okay,
that may be what is being suggested here, but I can't say for certain because I'm not looking at the letter right now.
Okay, so, but to be able to go forward to add that, would it have to go through a minor variance or would it automatically be allowed?
If we are in fact talking about a secondary dwelling unit and adding one within a duplex dwelling, it would not need a minor variance as it is permitted within our secondary dwelling unit policies as is.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I will ask a question this time, please. Maggie, it's Councillor Dalgety. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
So I did go on site and I did look at the area and the plans. And my first instinct was to go for the stormwater management report and see what comes out of it first before a decision was made on, like pertaining to this recommended motion. Do you see any benefit of waiting? I heard you say to Deputy Mayor Minnelli that the impact was not much different drainage-wise if we change the size or anything like that. Do you see any benefit of waiting for the stormwater management report first?
Potentially, however, I think the holding provision does an excellent job of approving the development in principle, but requiring that any development to actually occur on site must be done at the point of where the stormwater management plans and drainage plans have been approved by Public Works and MBTA. I think the holding provision sufficiently satisfies that need, and whether or not council decides to wait to see and assess the stormwater management plan, whether it's sufficient or not, I don't think there is a very large difference between approving the zoning with a holding and or waiting to make a decision. I would also note that in terms of the Planning Act timeline, there is a 120-day time period from application completed to a council decision. And in terms of that, it may be beneficial to approve the zoning with the holding in order to meet those timelines.
Okay, thank you, Maggie. Is there any more questions or comments on this motion? Mayor Lowry?
I'm not sure if I need Maggie. Maggie, you may have a comment on this. Thank you for clarifying what that stormwater management plan, like what those steps are, and that indeed the both our staff and the MVCA would have to accept the plan before things move forward. Just as a perhaps as a general comment, or perhaps to the CAO. In the last paragraph of the report, it is recommended that council consider directing a review of the conditions in that area, in this Finner Court subdivision, and possibly beyond. And I do note as well that in our strategic plan, we are reviewing the master infrastructure plan and the water and wastewater master plans. And I wonder if perhaps simultaneous to this application, if council might want to consider directing staff to take a look at this, and if we do want to suggest that it be taken into consideration for the 2021 capital budget to do that review. I imagine it'll be significant infrastructure work and it'll take time, but I think to hold back this developer because of problems with our infrastructure isn't the right way to go, in my view. I think as long as we make sure that that this developer is coming forward with a stormwater management plan that takes care of their property appropriately, I think it's time for us to take care of our side of this problem as well. And so I think I may be looking for direction in terms of next steps, because it's outside of what this report is from planning. Should it come forward as a notice of motion? Can we action this as a direction to staff? But regarding that secondary recommendation from the planning department, how could we move forward with that?
Mayor Lowry, through the chair, we can take that as an action item. I think the issue really is, once we if there is substantial work, so once we do our review, and there are substantial works. I mean, where you're going to see this next would be as a budget line item on a capital component. I do think that us having a look at this, both from an engineering standpoint, because there's two pieces here. There's an engineering standpoint in terms of the drainage ditch that's in back of Finner Court and backs and between the properties on Marshall, as well as a maintenance component as well. So. There's two things. The maintenance component is something we can do relatively soon. The capital works, if any were required, would obviously be something that would have to be part of your budget deliberations. So we would need to have some engineering work and some costing work to bring that forward to you. So I think there's two actions there. One, to take a look at the maintenance, and second is to bring forward any of the necessary items as a capital item during budget.
Mayor Lowry.
Sorry, thank you. Just as follow up, once the motion that's on the floor, so this is a question to the clerk. Once the motion that's on the floor has been voted on, should this then come forward as a vote of direction to staff, or can we note it as direction to staff? What would be appropriate?
It's entirely the preference of council to have it more formal. It would be a motion. This isn't a motion of council, though. It's a motion of committee of the whole.
Yes, sorry. Yes, you're right.
You could still direct staff, or you could leave it as an action item. It's both will appear in the minutes, so it's up to the members to see how they want to do it.
Okay. So I'll make a motion.
How would you like to do it?
I'll wait until this is finished, but I'll make a motion afterwards. Okay. Thanks.
Any more questions? So we'll call a vote on this motion. All in favor? 1, 2, 3. So I'll vote on that and it's carried. Okay, Mayor Lowry, do you want to?
If that's okay?
Yes.
And I'm willing to move with the wording on this as council sees, or as committee sees fit. But just working with the wording that's in the report, I would move that the committee consider directing staff to review the existing conditions in the Finner Court subdivision to ensure that the dry pond and municipal drains are functioning as planned and have been maintained in accordance with the Elmont Drain Stormwater Management Study and the Creekside Towns Stormwater Management Report. Would that accurately?
Do you want to be directed to the budget?
I don't know. Should it come to budget, or should it come to back to council, committee of the whole? Kind of looking for your direction on that.
I'm not sure how long it would take the public works to get it to back to council on this. Our first budget meeting is at the end of September, however. So it's up to you.
In that case, perhaps for the budget meeting, if that's possible, and otherwise to committee the whole meeting, unless staff have a different thought on that.
My suggestion was that we take it as an action item for the maintenance component, and then bring everything back if there's a capital item during the budget. So, you know, would you be interested in understanding if there's a maintenance issue here? Or, like, I would think that we would identify it and address any maintenance issues as part of regular business and then bring back any capital during the budget process.
It'd be good to understand the entire challenge there, and if there are things that we can identify immediately through maintenance that can help out, then that's excellent. So I think your suggestion's a good one in moving forward with maintenance pieces, and then have a further discussion about those capital pieces as they're identified. Have you crafted a motion sort of similar to what we just discussed?
I'm not following the rules. Look at me go. That committee of the whole direct staff to review the existing conditions in the Finner Court subdivision to ensure that the dry pond and municipal drain are functioning as planned, and that any capital projects be brought forward in the 2021 budget deliberations, and that committee of the whole direct staff to move forward on any maintenance in accordance with the Almont Drain Stormwater Management Study.
So we'll move that if
okay, so
you put that
move,
on the floor.
You can move that, and a seconder for that, please. Councillor Maiden. Any questions or comments on Mayor Lowry's motion? Councillor Ferguson.
How extensive is our review of the stormwater management study, and does it address exactly what the mayor was asking?
Who is that directed to, Councillor Ferguson?
You have to have your mic on again.
This one too?
CAO Kelly? That's
yes.
Well, I mean, granted that our acting director of public works, I believe, left the call.
Right.
I'll take that one. So, Councillor Ferguson, through the chair. I mean, the way we're going to tackle that is we're going to start with the maintenance components. I'm not sure how familiar you are with this area, but there is a stormwater drainage component at the bottom of Finner Court. It's connected into a swale drainage system that's in back of the properties. And I mean, first, what we'll start with is looking at whether what is built, what's in place, is what was designed to be there. That'll be part of the engineering component. Obviously, we'll be looking to do the maintenance that's required, if there is any that's required. I know we have been paying attention to this area over the past number of years because of flooding conditions and things like that we saw in 2017 and 2019. So we'll start with the maintenance piece. Then we'll look at whether what's in the ground, the as-builts, are what was designed and supposed to be in place according with those studies. Now, part of this Marshall Street development, they will be looking to, I would imagine, tie into this existing system. So there will be some engineering work that will be done there as well. I believe the issues in this area extend beyond, say, Marshall Street, and we need to look at the broader system and how it's actually tied together, and what actually, as the water transitions through this area, because it does kind of run downhill to a creek, as it transitions, how are those transitionings happening, and is the infrastructure that's there the appropriate infrastructure to allow those transitions to happen in the appropriate way? So the water does transition a number of properties in a number of unique ways.
Thank you.
Any further questions on Mayor Lowry's motion? Hearing none, all in favor? It's carried. We'll move on to F4, zoning bylaw amendment Z0620, part lot 27, plan 6262 on Farm Street in Almont Ward, Mississippi Mills. Mover and seconder for this motion, please. Councillor Maiden, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Questions and comments? Or comments? None. All in favor of this motion? That's carried. F5, zoning bylaw amendment Z0320, East Part Lot 9, Concession 9, Pakenham. 101 Links Hall, Opakenham, Municipality of Mississippi Mills. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Ferguson, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Questions or comments? None said. All in favor? That's carried. F6, zoning bylaw amendment Z0420, part lot 23, concession 1, Ramsey Ward, Mississippi Mills. Mover and seconder for this motion, please. Councillor Maiden, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Questions or comments? None said. All in favor? It's carried. We're on F7, official plan amendment 24, rural designated lands, Elmont and Pakenham Wards, Mississippi Mills. Mover and seconder for this motion, please. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Holmes. Questions or comments? Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. How many do I push here? That one too? Okay, page 135. It's a COP specifically to the date, which is 1973, which is 47 years ago, if my math is correct. Seems a long time since we haven't changed the date. I know there was significant discussion during the OP about changing that particular date to address severances on rural lands, as opposed to, as it says in the second last paragraph, the last sentence, then restrictive than those applied to agricultural lands, which we now know, or know rather, that there is no severances available on prime agricultural lands. But there has been, and there was, significant discussion specifically to permitting additional severances on rural lands. So is that going to be addressed at any point in time, specifically to this discussion?
Sorry, can I please clarify that we are speaking about the official plan amendment 24?
Yes.
Okay, so this official plan amendment is not dealing with the rural land severances. The maximum severance permitted is 2. Past 1973, whatever exists is considered a holding. This application to amend the official plan is only looking at surplus farm dwelling severances. So in the OP, it is dated 1978, which is proposed to be amended to the official plan adoption date of December 31st, 2005. This application is not looking to amend the policies for rural severances other than for surplus farm dwellings.
Okay, thank you. So it does it only address section 3.3.6, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Oh. Yes, that is correct, but specifically subsection 1 of the section 3.3.6.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Any further questions on this motion? None said. All in favor of this motion? That's carried. Move on to F8, Animal Control Bylaw, Amendment to Permit Hens. The recommended motion that the Committee of the Whole recommend that Council direct staff to bring forward an amendment to the current Animal Control Bylaw to permit keeping of hens in the defined settlement areas. Any mover and seconder, please? Councillor Maiden? Councillor Girard? Questions and comments? Deputy Mayor Minnelli?
I won't be in favor of this motion. I've talked to a lot of residents, and there's very, very few people that are going to either look after them or hens or stuff, so I won't be supporting this motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Maiden?
I had also reached out to see if anyone was in favor. The only comments I got back, and I didn't get back a lot, were negative about it, although I personally feel that, you know, if as long as they're looked after, as long as their neighbors are happy with it, and it's clean, I don't really have an issue with it, as long as the yard is big enough. I mean, I can't picture hens being raised in the, you know, a five-row of townhomes. So that's just the feedback that I got.
Okay. Councillor Holmes?
Thank you. So I too have a soft spot for people who want to raise chickens. However, I notice here that there's not going to be any formal licensing, inspection, or regulation. So if I have chickens and my neighbors object to it, it doesn't sound like they have any recourse to complain. So I think in the absence of any type of regulation around it, I can't support it either.
Mayor Lowry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to point out two things. One is from the proposed animal control bylaw. It's in section 4, number 6, F. And it indicates that coops shall comply with the provisions of the accessory structures under the zoning bylaw. So that could mean that your chicken coop is 1.2 meters. That's the only setback required from the back portion of the property, which is less than we are right now for social distancing. So it's kind of tight. And I think I can agree with Councillor Holmes in that if we were to move forward with something like this, I think there needs to be a little bit more preparation around it. And I would certainly have to see public consultation for something like this. I know it came from the planning department getting a lot of questions over the lockdown portion of the COVID pandemic. So certainly there are people who are interested, but I would be very hesitant to rush something like this. And I think there's a few more steps that we would need to see completed before I would feel comfortable moving forward with this.
Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. I certainly agree with the comments, and I have one specifically to page 147, section 1F, and I addressed it when we first discussed this, and that's in reference to the coop. It's weatherproof, which is fine. That could be anything that keeps the weather out, obviously, but what does it keep out when it's 40 below? And also, does that then call up a building inspection? I guess it would be dictated by the size of it, of course, but is there a size restriction on it? And I certainly have concerns about it, and I agree with what the mayor has said, that maybe there's time for a sober second thought and another additional review or more discussion, because I just think it's not maybe what the people anticipate, although they're eager for it because of the situation I think we're in right now. Thank you.
Further questions, Councillor Drake?
Not a question as much as a comment with regards to heating for chickens, because some of us actually have raised chickens. Six chickens can actually keep themselves warm. They don't need extra heat. They do need water. They do need cleaning. This is something that I believe all of us could agree on needs a little bit more space and a little bit more time to look at. I think though they're fun, I don't think that the interest is going to be kept for a longer duration of time. So I think that leaving this to a point where we have time to evaluate a better system, I think is something we should be looking at for sure. Thank you.
Any more questions, comments?
John, just a
CAO Kelly.
I'll note that in the bylaw, there is an investigation section where a municipal law enforcement officer can actually enter on land and actually do an inspection. With regards to size, you're basically looking at these as accessory buildings. So you would be looking at them in the same frame of mind, I would say, as in terms of size, because you were asking how big can this be, the same provisions as, say, a shed. So, you know, once you get to a certain size, you would obviously dictate, you know, larger than 10 by 10, which is a size of a shed. Once you start getting larger than that, then obviously we need a little more of a requirement for building a department to be involved and things like that. We have not specified things like it has to be insulated or whatnot, or to ensure that the birds survive and things like that. But the purpose of allowing it is to allow people to have some shape of a coop that they could use to keep the animals in. But basically, we would be treating, for the most part, a lot of the not so much regulations as Councillor Holmes was putting on the table, but for the most part, we would be treating it as a building or a structure or a shed. So that's the way we would be working at the enclosure, would be from that standpoint. But I will say that with regards to when neighbors get involved in this, that would actually be coming through the complaint process for bylaw. So, you know, if it's a structure issue, it would be a building component. If it's a nuisance issue or a complaint about, say, noise or the cleanliness, that would come through bylaw enforcement, which would involve municipal law enforcement actually being on site. And like I said, in the bylaw, we do sanction that they can enter on property and actually do an inspection. But I do believe that in the report, we've noted that there's a pilot project in Toronto. There's a couple of other municipalities that have gone down this road. It may be useful to see maybe what the outcomes are of other people's experiences before we decide that we want to do this. I do agree that there's concerns about what happens to the waste. Will people actually abide by when an animal dies? Will they actually appropriately dispose of it? Or will it simply end up in a garbage bag at the curb? So, I do have concerns about that, but we've brought this forward for your consideration. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments? All in favor of this motion? Is that motion defeated? We'll move on to F9, Municipal Bylaw Enforcement Policy. The recommended motion, the Committee of the Whole recommend that Council pass a resolution to adopt the proposed Municipal Bylaw Enforcement Policy. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes. Questions or comments? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I'm not in favor of passing any municipal bylaw enforcement policy until we get our own bylaw enforcement officer for our own Mississippi Mills. Independent. So I just, I'm not going to be in favor of this motion. I think I know we're going to discuss it in September, but we've discussed it every September as long as I've been on council, and they just keep going back to the same operator. And I think it's time we could probably do a zero, it'd cost us zero if we hired somebody and they did all the fines and we did out. So I can't support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions or comments? Councillor Ferguson.
I have some concerns under the discussion part of it, specifically on page 157, and maybe my own ignorance, but I was not really aware that we're encouraging resolutions of violations through cooperation, and I look at parking. I don't think we traditionally give many warnings for parking. I don't believe. Now, I stand to be corrected on that, but certainly in areas where there is, you know, restrictions on overnight parking and that type of thing, I don't think we allow a first offense okay. I don't know. And that would be some of my concerns, the way that maybe is worded. And then as you proceed onto page 161, where it's specifically under the complaint be considered valid, da-da-da-da-da, but confirmation that the requester has attempted to resolve complaint directly, what about dog bites? I can't assume that some person that has been bit by a dog is going to very quickly resolve the complaint with the owner of the dog. And that is some of the things we have had issues with, obviously, over some of the years, where dog bites have been very prominent. So I just wonder if maybe there should be some consideration to rewording a portion of it, or the clarification on the resolution of violations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions?
Mayor Lowry?
Mayor Lowry? Go ahead, CEO Kelly.
Just to respond to Councillor Ferguson, Chair Daugherty, with regards to dog bites, I do believe that would fall more under the animal control component. We do deal with aggressive animals in that bylaw and what can be done. With regards to, I think your first question on that, which was parking and warnings and things like that, that may have been something where, yes, the education or their intervention component is not the mechanism. Now, if we're in particular, if we're talking about overnight parking in winter and we're looking at removing of vehicles and things like that so that we can perform our duties, obviously we're not doing those interventions. However, we do actually try to educate. I'll give you an example. So for instance, when we were trying to deal with COVID and the way people were social distancing, we took a proactive approach of trying to educate as opposed to going down the route of fines. That would have meant that council would have adopted a bylaw to actually sanction us to be fining and things like that. So what we're doing here is trying to look to, instead of proceeding to fines, but kind of formalizing that discussion that usually happens anyway, where you visit the property owner, you make them understand or provide them with information about what it is the action that they're taking is wrong, ask them for compliance, and then move through that process. We don't usually enter on someone's property and then immediately issue them a notice without having some type of discussion with them to get some information and get an understanding in terms of what's going on. Sometimes people simply don't know. Now, that's not an excuse. But sometimes when we do educate them or tell them about the rules and regulations, that they do comply. And that's basically what we're trying to get is compliance. And what this is doing is sanctioning that component, right? You're trying to get to the point of compliance.
So. Councillor Ferguson.
Is that going to then be different? We're at the present time, bylaw, do a drive-through and do provide a ticket overnight. They're not doing it upon request, they're just doing it as a normal function, driving through the municipality and know someone has been parking, tapped. So is there a difference there? Or
I think you're identifying a difference here in that parking is an aside, and this bylaw should probably be amended and the wording amended such that parking is a little bit different. I mean, what we're talking about are things that are more of a nuisance nature, and you're dealing with a neighbor's complaint with a neighbor as such, and this is what we're trying to do, is work on addressing those things without getting into a fine structure. Now, obviously, I think there's a diagram, a flow chart in the back here about how we move through the stages, and yes, you know, that is part of it, but for the most part, what we're trying to do is get people to comply through a component of education, intervention, understanding, and hopefully bringing them on side with the way things should be, as opposed to jumping to a fine structure immediately. So it's more along the lines of the nuisance components.
Thank you.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you, Chair. Just looking at this on page 161, Drastia, are we going to have a form? Are they going to have to come out here and get a form to fill out to make a complaint? That's one of my little pet peeves. And the other one, I was driving around, why you mentioned our own building inspector, or our bylaw enforcement officer, excuse me. Driving around today in a subdivision, they had the second layer of pavement on. There was a machine loaded in the middle of an intersection, and they had just finished taking dirt off the brand new road, and they were gone. If a bylaw enforcement officer drove around this municipality, I know they could break even. It'd cost us zero to enforce. I'm guaranteed you would. And what's the sense of making all these rules when you have somebody that comes in 15 hours a week and does a drive-through? So, again, I won't support this until we have our own. Thank you.
Councilor Maiden.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that at budget time, which is coming up quick. But I quite actually like the enforcement policy because it clarifies things that are right now to me a little bit muddy. And I really like the triage section on page 163 at the examples. And I think that might even be firmed up at the bottom, which says, okay, this is a job for the OPP. This is the Conservation Authority. What is bylaw and what's not? And I really like that about the policy, so I support it.
Councillor Holmes.
Yeah, I too support the policy with a little bit of tweaking, I think, around the business about the parking tickets and stuff. Having used this sort of new system a couple times recently, I really like the way we can file the complaint directly here with one of our staff members. And I know in one situation in particular, we were really able to go forward and get a good resolution. So I would support this. I think that, and I do agree, we need some discussion around, you know, how we're going to go forward with our with our bylaws, bylaw enforcement. But I think given what we're doing right now, it's not a bad idea to have a policy in the making.
Thank you. Councillor Maiden.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we could do a friendly amendment to this to incorporate Deputy Mayor's Minnelli's request to have a look at having our own bylaw office. I mean, that's something we've kind of promised ourselves since last fall, but we haven't got around to doing. Could we possibly direct staff to investigate that and have it brought up during our budget discussions?
Okay. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, do you want to?
You okay, Madam Clerk?
The seconder was Councillor Holmes, so she's okay with that friendly amendment. I'll add that in.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
So you were the seconder on the motion. Councillor Maiden was the mover, and she was requesting a friendly amendment to add in that staff bring forward options for bylaw enforcement in-house during the 2021 budget deliberations.
I agree.
Okay. Mayor Lowry?
That was actually one of the things I was going to say. It was regarding the summary in this report. It's noted that the contract we have currently with MLES is expiring this year. So my question was, what are the next steps? Do we have something coming forward? But I think we're going to capture it in this friendly amendment. My other question to I think to the CAO then. There is interest in having in-house. It may be that we continue with a contract. It may be that we do something different. But my understanding of this policy would be that regardless if it is in-house or if it is a contract, I mean, this is the policy that we are putting in place. So it really doesn't matter who it is that's enforcing. This will be the policy that we're standing by. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mayor Lowry, through the chair. So yes, so we would be looking at, again, the main point here is we're trying to put together a process that kind of captures how things happen. So when to address Deputy Mayor Manili's concern, you know, would people have to fill out a form? Right now, people can call in. They can call in and speak to our planning and building department and lodge their complaint. Those contact points are all online. So people can actually make a complaint without having to physically come to the town office and do that. So that captures that. What this policy does deal with, though, are things like anonymous complaints. So somebody does call in, wants to lodge a complaint, and doesn't want to provide any information, then we have a mechanism here, like what this codifies, is that we have a mechanism on how we're going to deal with that. And basically, we don't take anonymous complaints, is what that says. You know, if something comes through a counselor, well, we will go back and we'll verify that through a counselor. That's also captured here in this policy on how we're going to enforce. But you're correct. Whether it's internal resources or external resources through a contract, or if we're contracting to another municipality, this would still govern that component about how it's triaged or how it's dealt with internally.
Mayor Lowry?
Thank you. Sorry, I just wanted to follow up with a comment. I think since we've had our own staff involved with taking complaints and overseeing some of this work, I think it's really done well by our residents. I think it's gotten a lot clearer for us as well, and I think this is a step towards having standardized ways that we're going to do this. So, you know, each time you're coming, this is how it's going to be. This is what the process is going to be, and it provides some clarity for the public as well. The two comments that I would provide is I do think that maybe there is some room to clarify around parking, because that I haven't seen what Councillor Ferguson has commented on here. I haven't seen that in the document. And I think a good point was made on page 161 from Councillor Ferguson as well about confirmation the requester has attempted to resolve the complaint. Maybe we just need to add in there where appropriate, because certainly there are some situations where it wouldn't be, but certainly there are situations where it's just, you know, go and have a conversation with your neighbor and sort it out. But I think the overall package I'm really quite pleased with, but I would like to see something updated with the parking aspect before I'd like to support the document as it is.
Councillor Girard.
Thank you. Through the chair, question to the CEO. How many people who actually work for the town of Mississippi Mills are already deputized as a bylaw officer?
We do have statutory officers that enforce various components according to their duty, such as a chief building official. How many people are deputized as bylaw enforcement officers? I believe we only have one, which is the company, the private company that's able to enforce our bylaws.
Okay.
Corrected on that, but
I thought we had documentation on that sometime this year, something that I believe our former planning director, I believe she had actually put documentation, and I thought that we had five that could be or were all the building inspectors, and then there was a couple of other people who were on public works. So if we could clarify that, I'm wondering if that could be something that we could look at with regards to Deputy Mayor Manelli's concerns with the fact that it takes, well, they work for 15 hours, and it's whether to show up, if we call them, how long they take to show up. If it's something as simple as gravel or something's been dropped on the street, could that not be something that's looked after internally? Is that something that you can use in our discussions with all the new stuff that's coming forward? We have stuff coming forward with that?
I'll look into that, but from my understanding, building inspectors, for example, have rights under the building code for right of entry, but it's very limited just to the building code. Public Works as well has some through bylaw, through right of entry. I don't think, I could stand to be corrected, but I don't know of, or I have to do a review of our bylaws, but it's my understanding that we don't have any internal municipal staff who can enforce all municipal bylaws like a bylaw enforcement officer. I think we have certain staff, like even our fire chief, for example, right of entry for fires related to the fire code. But I think they're all pretty limited to the various acts or bylaws that directly relate to their positions, but I could look into that further.
But it is something that as a CAO would actually be able to deputize and have staff that would work internally or worked for the municipality, not hired out like we have right now.
Well, like I was saying, I think we have, like for instance, the clerk is a statutory officer. There's certain authorities that go with that, but it doesn't mean that the clerk can enforce the bylaws of the organization, right? There's statutory authority, and then there's authority granted by council as well. To my knowledge, again, stand to be corrected, we will follow up on this point for you and for the rest of councilor, or rest of council as well. But to my knowledge, I thought the only group, entity, or whatever we want to call it, that has the ability to issue fines and things like that is the contracted company that we've designated as our bylaw enforcement officer, our entity.
So I would appreciate that information, please.
Yeah.
Mayor Lowry.
I'm wondering if this is maybe what you're thinking of, Councillor Girard. During the state of emergency, the Solicitor General had permitted enforcement at the municipal level of the Emergency Management and Control, Emergency Management and Civil Protections Act, and who they allowed that to be was bylaw officers, and as well as employees, officers, or agents of the municipality who are enforcing a bylaw or an act or a regulation. So I think maybe that's where you're thinking of there being five people in the municipality, because the fire chief, for example, the fire preventions officer, I think some of the building officials and whatnot, they're, well, actually, of course, the building officials, they're in having to enforce acts. It's not bylaw, but it's acts. So in some of the discussions, I think that information came forward that there could be, I don't know if it was five or how many staff members there were that are in those positions, like the fire chief and the fire preventions officer. My understanding is that a bylaw officer would have to be appointed by bylaw. So there's a little bit of...
Pardon me, say that again?
A bylaw officer would need to be appointed by bylaw. And when we were having that discussion about other staff members who can enforce, like our bylaw officers, I think it was those positions where they're enforcing acts and regulations, and that's what the Solicitor General was giving permission to be able to enforce the Emergencies Act. I don't know if that's maybe what came up, because that was something we were talking about a few months ago.
Councillor Girard.
Thank you. I believe that now that you mentioned it, I believe that is what I'm thinking. It was something that Nikki did write, and she was on the emergency group. But I also am curious, because I've known many people who have been hired by Carlton Place to be bylaw officers, and they've just gone around and provided tickets for watering grass, being down at the boat launch, like they were able to be bonded, or I don't know what the right terminology is, but they were awarded that position. They were hired as summer students, and they were bylaw officers. So I was just curious if that's something that we could look at for, because honestly, the bylaws that with regards to parking, obviously that's the people are there and then they're gone, right? So if it was something like the gentlemen who do the street snow removal, if they were bylaw officers, they could actually take a picture and they wouldn't have to do the paperwork, but like there was, I'm just trying to think if there's ways that we can work with what Deputy Mayor Minnelli has suggested is an issue, and in combination with what this is being put forward. I feel that this is a really good start too, but I'm sure based on all of our comments, we could do better or we can add more to it as compared to what that is. Thank you.
CAO Kelly?
Just in response to some of the, I guess, the general dialogue that we've been having, I think there's two pieces here. There's one piece, which is what we're talking about here, which is the management of how we look at the processes. And then there's a second component, which is the delivery piece of it, which is whether it's internal or contracted. I mean, if the sense, and you're right, I mean, this is a budgetary discussion. If there's a sense that we don't have enough enforcement hours within the community, we can deal with that in one of two ways. We can increase the hours in the contract, or we could look at bringing it internal if that's what you feel provides you with the level of service that the community is needed. All right, that's just the delivery component. What we're talking about here as part of this policy is really more along the lines of our management of it and how we deal with it coming through. And I think Mayor Lowry was, her point was, this policy is not going to change whether we have internal resources or external resources. And that's correct. But what we are going to do is be dealing with how we take a call, how we recognize it as a request, as a complaint, what we deal with it, and how it moves through the system. You know, how that gets actioned out to a contractor or to an internal component, that would essentially stay the same, right, under both these things. You know, we do have a contract that's broken in two pieces. We have a parking contract, and then we have, you know, bylaw enforcement, right? So they perform in different hours or different capacities for those contracts. Okay, so if that helps.
Okay, any further comments or questions? Madam Clerk, can you reread the motion with the friendly amendment, please?
That committee the whole recommend that council pass a resolution to adopt the proposed municipal bylaw enforcement policy, and that committee the whole directs staff to bring forward options to have bylaw enforcement services in-house as part of the 2021 budget deliberations.
Okay, all in favor of that motion as read? 1, 2, 3. That's carried. Okay, if it's okay for everybody, we'll do a couple more motions and then take a 5-minute recess. So we're on F10, request to purchase Glass Street. Recommend motion that the committee of the whole recommend that council pass a resolution declaring the portion of the unopened Glass Street road allowance surplus and directing staff to proceed with the sale in accordance with the municipal land sale bylaw. Mover and seconder, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Mayor Lowry, questions and comments? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I'm noticing under financial implications that the land evaluation was done in 2018. I'm not really familiar with land evaluations. Would there have been much change in 2 years? Should we look for a new appraisal? I guess through the chair to our CAO.
Your question was, how is it evaluated, the land?
It was evaluated in 2018. Should we reevaluate as land? Would 2 years make a difference in land values?
I believe under our land sale bylaw, we've dealt with that, and basically an appraisal is good for about 3 years. And I thought that was noted in the report somewhere. That was the case.
Thank you.
Councilor Maiden.
My only concern had been, was there any kind of plan to make use in the future of this unopened road allowance? And the statement that there does not appear to be any functional requirement for present or future infrastructure works, according to the Planning Department and Public Works, satisfies me, and I would rely on that in supporting this.
Any further questions or comments? None said. All in favor of this motion? It's carried. We're on F11, Site Control Plan 55 Spring Street in Elmont. The motion is the recommended motion is the Committee of the Whole recommend the Council approve the site plans for the property described as Part Lot 2, McClellan Section, Plan 6262, being Part 1 of Register Plan 27R5684. Municipality known as 55 Spring Street, and that the Committee of the Whole recommend that the Council authorize the Mayor and Clerk to enter into a site plan control agreement for the proposed works. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Maiden, comments or questions? None said. All in favor of this motion? That's carried. So I think we'll take a 5-minute recess and go outside for fresh air for a couple minutes, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay, we're all back, and we'll call the meeting back to order. We're in Finance and Administration, F12. Addition to the municipality's name, reserve list, Clarence Colley and C.V. Colley. Recommended motion that the Committee of the Whole recommend the Council approves the addition of C.V. Colley and Clarence Colley to the municipality's name reserve list for consideration for future naming of a street within the municipality. Mover and seconder, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Ferguson, comments or questions? Councillor Girard?
Though I appreciate the name Colley, I understand the relevance. I believe, based on issues with regards to other locations in town that have similar names, I believe we should consider one option, not both options, because right now we have Snedden Road and Snedden Farm Road, and the people on Snedden Farm Road have had issues with calling 911 and getting actual help. So I believe, I appreciate the name Colley, but I believe we should only choose one of the names.
Go ahead.
Sorry, to provide clarity, it'll either be C.V. Colley or Clarence Colley. So if one is picked, the other one will be scrapped off the list.
Any more questions or comments? I got a mover and seconder.
Could I just comment one?
CAO Kelly?
Just one other thing that kind of goes along with this. A lot of people have concern, particularly when they bring forward a name, that once the name gets added to the list, that there may be a street or something like that that gets named after that person. The way it works basically is there's a list that somebody can pick from. So if a developer decides to develop an area within town, they can pick from that list, or they can use their own names that they bring forward. There is a process that we do go through to make sure that, you know, as Councillor Girard has said, that there's no conflicts from a 911 standpoint. But other than that, we do have a list, and developers can pick from that list. So there is oftentimes a little bit of confusion here on this, that once the name gets added to the list, the next street that comes up is going to be named that. That's not exactly the way it works. The developers do have the opportunity, and they bring forward. And this is oftentimes why we'll have maybe a new development that comes on stream, and all the names on that in that subdivision may have a certain theme, or you know, a certain list. They may come from another list that is not this list. So I just like to make that clear, that just because the name gets added to the list, it doesn't mean that the next street that's developed in Mississippi Mills will be named that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Maiden.
I'm just wondering, is there any way that we could perhaps pass a bylaw to compel the developers to use our name list?
CAO Kelly, would you like to answer that?
Yes, I do believe that is within the authority of the municipality. But again, we do want to provide some leeway in that, you know, the list of names that is used has to, you know, be vetted by emergency services, 911 and whatnot, and public works. So we do a little bit of triage on each name and things like that as part of the process. But I do believe that is within the authority of the municipality to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? None said. All in favor of this motion? That's carried. F13, amendment to procedural bylaw e-participation. Recommend a motion that the Committee of the Whole recommend the Council pass a bylaw to amend procedure bylaw 19127 to allow for Council, local boards, and committees to hold electronic meetings. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes. Questions or comments? None said. All in favor of this motion? That's carried. Moving on to section G1, Mayor Lowry motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm going to withdraw this motion. The reason being, it first was to appear on an agenda back in March. And in speaking with the CAO at the county, Kirk Graves, There will be a report coming forward at County Council imminently. I don't know if all of the points in this motion will be addressed in his report or not, but just given the timing, I think it probably best that we hear what the report is, and if there's anything specifically here in Mississippi Mills that we're hoping to influence or we'd like to make comment on, I think it probably be more appropriate to wait for that report and do so from that time. So Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you. The next couple of motions are my motions, and I'd like to hand the chair over to Mayor Lowry for the next two, please.
Okay. So Councillor Dalgety, Safe Bicycle Routes in Almont. I'll turn it to you.
Okay. So this motion originated with myself when our election campaign was on. And since then, I've got a lot of feedback from people in town about the speed, the amount of traffic on these two streets for the bike lanes are Ottawa and Martin Street, that it's not safe for bicycles on those busy streets. Many of the people complaining to me were parents, and they are not recommending that their kids ride on these streets. I do realize there is a group of people that are interested in biking, and I have nothing against people on bicycles or this group in general. I'd like to look at an alternative route to get bicycle traffic from one end of town to the other, to schools, to the OVRT, and basically coming in from the roundabout from March Road. And bypassing the busiest parts of the town. Relooking at my motion, this motion originally came out March 17th. A little friendly amendment I'd like to add on the paragraph that in council direct Public Works Advisory Committee to review and make recommendations regarding bicycle lanes identified. I'd like to add in the active transportation plan in there as well. As well as the master transportation plan, including those that have not yet been implemented. But I think it's important that the active transportation plan also be reviewed. I think it's beneficial to have the Public Works Advisory Committee work on this. There's a lot of grunt work on it. I know Acting Director Armstrong is very busy, and I think a lot of this stuff should be done by the committee. It's very time consuming, and I think this is a good option to use. Anyways, you can see the rest of the motion there, and I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Comments or questions to the motion? Councillor Maiden.
Just wanted to note I'm not going to make any comments on this particular one. I have checked with the Integrity Commissioner. He says I do not have a pecuniary interest under the Municipal Act. I think under our code of conduct, I would prefer to just excuse myself from any further discussion on this. Thank you.
Okay. I think there's a form for you to fill out in if that's the case, and we can clarify that with the clerk for you. Okay. Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, I wonder if Councillor Dalgett could clarify the role of the active transportation. I question whether the Public Works Advisory Committee should be involved until such time as we do make contact with the active transportation, because that was a very, very extensive plan, obviously, that required some engineering. I don't know how much there is in reference to maybe engineering as opposed to just rerouting. I don't know whether there's implications specifically to that, and again, specifically to addressing the rerouting or the identifying of routes for the OVRT. So I really don't know where they should fall. Should they be the first priority we go to and then download it after that time to the other committee, to the subcommittee rather, sorry.
Okay, through the chair to Councillor Ferguson. My thought on that was I felt it was important as they work out these routes that they include anything in the active transportation plan that would be helpful to make their options or decisions. I am aware that they could just go with the master transportation plan in general, but I figure there's probably valuable stuff they could use in that as well. I figure if they looked at this, it's going to be very time-consuming, and that's why I figured they would be best to work on this themselves. There's a lot more of them than there are yourself and Deputy Mayor Minnelli on this committee and the director, so there's a lot to it, a lot of reviewing and a lot of research, and using both those plans I thought would be beneficial overall.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's where I would ask CEO, what, where is that, do you feel that role of the committee versus the engineering aspect of the active transportation group? Do you see that meshing together, or is that a separate entity, do you feel, or no?
Well, that was one thing I was going to bring up. There is no active transportation committee, no. To my knowledge. I believe it was disbanded a couple of years back. So the work that came out of that is basically the active transportation master plan. And that was a plan that involved an outside expert, an engineering firm. There was extensive consultation on that. I mean, it covers off everything from bike lanes to crosswalks and trail systems and things like that. So the Public Works Advisory Committee, I think Councillor Daugherty is right in terms of this is going to be a piece of work that's going to need to be shaped and guided. There is a component that they may need some outside assistance in terms of an engineering or an engineering firm to assist with that. Maybe we may need to make some provisions for accessing that or a budget to do some of that work. We hadn't planned on that, but that is something that more than likely I would think once the committee, the Public Works Advisory Committee, starts going down this road of looking at this, they may actually want some advice or some expert advice from an engineering firm on some of the aspects of that. So I do think that a lot of what we're going to be talking about is going to be through public consultation. I think a lot of what we're talking about here on this piece is the will and desire of the public and the will and desire of council. It may not rest itself on simply the technical aspects or the technical merits. Hopefully that answers your question, Councillor Ferguson. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions or comments? I just have one question for the CEO. Given that the transportation and the active transportation plans are recognized as being items that we're wanting to review in the strat plan, and recognizing as well, like the Dillon master plan, the transportation and the active transportation plan, there was major dollars spent on those and time spent aligning them with other plans. Other municipal plans. I'm not clear on what the steps will be if we have it recognized in the strat plan as something we're reviewing, and then also have a motion here to direct the Public Works Advisory Committee to start some kind of a review. So I'm just looking for a bit of clarity, and perhaps it's from yourself, Councillor Delegate, or perhaps it's from the CAO in terms of next steps of the strat plan, but I kind of feel like we're maybe going at the same thing twice, and I don't see duplicating work as being a positive thing, and we have recognized that there's a desire to review that and the transportation plan and the infrastructure plan. So just if you could provide maybe some direction or some guidance of what you're thinking that will look like moving forward, and then just how you're seeing that fit into the bigger piece.
Okay. Well, I mean, exactly. As part of the strat plan, we did plan on looking and reviewing things like the major infrastructure documents of the municipality, whether it's water, wastewater, it's transportation, et cetera, as part of the overall, feeding into the long-term financial plan as well. Within those reviews, we did have project charters as part of the strategic plan, and part of those did cover off, engaging with the committees or engaging with the public and things like that. But the idea really was that we would be bringing in an expert, a consultant to do the heavy lifting on those aspects. So I think our point is, do we dovetail those or do we have them work separately? And it probably makes sense to have them dovetail. I guess the question really here is, who provides the direction or who's leading it? Is it something where the Director of Public Works or a staff member is tasked with that project, which is what is happening under the project charter system? A staff member is being made responsible for delivering on that project? Or are we going to put it to an advisory committee to be responsible to deliver on that aspect? Right now, under the strategic plan, it's a direction from council to a staff person who would be part of that. In the project charter, it does say, to engage stakeholders, of which the advisory committee would be considered one. So I think really what we need to clarify is who's steering it, who's guiding it. It's probably the piece.
Okay, thank you for that. Did you want to add comment?
So my thought on this piece of it, I'm looking for options. I'm not looking for a real complex project. I'm looking for options, and with the use of the active transportation plan and master transportation plan, they're not providing options blind. They can see, the bigger picture this way. I'm just looking for safer options to get bicycles to where they need to go from one end of the town to the other. I'm not looking for a real complex thing, side streets or what have you, whatever they decide to get from A to B and back again.
I have no issue with what you're wanting to put in your motion. Just to clarify where I'm asking my questions from, it's really in terms of process, because mm-hmm. we have two processes happening to review the same thing. And actually, the next couple motions are in a perhaps similar way. When we have a large strategic plan organized by the thoughts that we are wanting to see happen over the next 2 or 3 years, I'm just not clear on what the process is when we're already, we already have charters with the staff indicating the projects that we want to see happen, and one of them is a review of the active transportation plan. So that's where my confusion is just in terms of process. If we pass this, does it mean there's two processes going towards the active transportation plan, and how mm-hmm. do they mix together? That's where my questions were.
Okay.
Not the merit of your yep. motion. It's really process-wise. If we've already decided we're going to do the active transportation review, how does this fit in it? That was all my question was, but I'll leave it at that. Was there any other comments or questions? Councillor Holmes?
Thank you. Just for clarity, through the chair to the CAO, would it be appropriate then for this motion to ask for Public Works to review it, but to have the advisory committee as it for consult? Dave Armstrong would lead it, but the advisory committee would kind of do the grunt work for him.
Well, again, I think there's, with regards to the strategic plan, we're looking at a lot of issues. This is very targeted at one issue, which is bicycle lanes. And I would think with regards to priority and timing. So within the strategic planning process, we are going to get to these projects as staff time allows, as consultant dollars are made available, et cetera. This would be one item within a larger package that would move forward as part of the strategic plan, as part of the work that would be done there. There were several comments during the strategic planning stage on the project charters that if there's an advisory committee that's related to that project or that component, they should be brought in. Those amendments or revisions, I thought, were brought into the last version of the strategic plan, that the committees, the advisory committees, would be a part of that. So I see the Public Works Advisory Committee, with regards to any Public Works related things, they're going to be brought into this issue plus a number of other issues. Maybe this motion would be directed to, and that council direct the Public Works Advisory Committee to participate in the strategic planning process, or linking to the strategic planning process in some regard, and that's how it would fall out, as opposed to right now, it's a very specific item. And, you know, is if we start work on this very specific item, is it going to be within the context of everything else? Remember, we also have a couple of other components within the strategic plan, such as the community safety plan and the community services plan as well, which covers off our recreation piece. So there's a few different processes, few different projects that will be touching on this aspect as we go forward.
Further comment from yourself, or you're okay? Any other comments or questions? Councillor Ferguson?
Yeah, I like what the CEO was suggesting as a ladder. I think that ties it closer to what we're looking for, I think. That rather than leading with this, I think you suggested that they be asked to do it in conjunction with the public works review. Is that correct? Is that kind of how you, that's what I would think it should be reviewed with.
Yes, and that was, like I said, that was part of the direction during the strategic planning process, that the advisory committees, where it was their, say, area of subject expertise, they would be brought into the project charters to be a part of that. But again, the staff person is the one that's responsible for the deliverable.
Yes, yeah.
Right? 'Cause it, and the staff person would be the one that we would be, you know, we would be directing, or you would be directing as council in terms of steering the overall project. I do hear what Councillor Dowdy is saying, is that, you know, on this specific issue, maybe the Public Works Advisory Committee could bring forward additional information or do the research or the options. I think that's appropriate, but it needs to be within the context of everything else we're doing as well. Like, we need to tie these things together, not just have various things happening.
So does that require a rewording of this, or just an understanding, or does it, so that it does address that, like the way you've explained it?
Yeah, I mean, it should tie to the overall strategic plan and the processes that we are hopefully initiating there. I mean, that strategic plan is yet to come back to council, right? It was in a draft format and it's out for consultation now. That will come back to council and you will give it your final approval, or you'll ask for further refinements and whatnot of it. But the idea is that the strategic plan becomes your guiding document for things like this.
That's what I would think, because it does, I think, as we move forward, which we obviously are going to do with it, I believe, it could obviously entail some significant engineering based on the transportation master plan. If we're going to redefine roads and that type of thing, it would have to be looked at in detail to accommodate if bicycle lanes are going to be there, re-engineering or engineering statistics specific to road widths and everything else if it's going to be realigned. So I think matching all or bringing all that together under one is certainly the way the route should follow, if that's, you know.
Councillor Delgatty.
That was kind of my question as well. Do we leave this motion, or to be an upcoming motion with the strategic plan that will be included? And if so, do I just scrap this for now and we include it in a strategic planning item?
Well, like I said, I mean, this is a very specific item.
Yeah.
And
can I roll this into the strategic plan then?
Well, maybe it's maybe the approach to this is to look at the specific charter for the transportation master plan and make sure that this item is in that larger laundry list to be, you know, and I won't say prioritized, but it's in the laundry list to be looked at.
Okay.
Because remember, in those charters, they were built off of the issues and concerns that you raised through our facilitated sessions, and we did bring those forward as part of the project charters, so they're in there. We just need to make sure that this one is in there in the appropriate mechanism, as well that the charter speaks to the public advisory committee being as part of the process and things like that.
Okay.
Then it should be tied together and done in context with everything else, because, you know, just like Councillor Ferguson is saying, you know, public desire may be to put a route over here, then we need another layer that says, is the road wide enough? Is the sight lines? Is the stopping? That's the technical piece I was referring to, right? The desire and the public piece. We don't need the engineer to tell us what the desire of the public is. We can figure that out ourselves. It's just more along the lines of the technical pieces.
Okay.
So as a next step, would it make sense, because the draft, it's only draft plan right now, the strat plan, would it make sense to have yourself and the CAO work together to ensure that this is reflected in the
yes.
document that finally comes ahead of us to direct to staff and encourage the involvement of the advisory committees? Like, do you see that as a...
Yes, I can go that route.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. So this, then I'll pull this for now.
Okay. And so you'll work with the staff to make that change?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
we don't want to lose it, but... okay, if there's no other comments on that one, and you're okay with that,
I'm okay
Councillor?
With that. Yep.
Okay, perfect. So we'll move on to G3. This is a motion from Councillor Dalgety regarding the business parks, the vacant lots. So I'll pass that to you again.
Okay. Recently, I've been getting calls about people want to purchase lots in the business park, which is currently, the lots are currently under E1 zoning. And many of the lots are already sold, so they're buying from a second party. Third party, and there's a timeline issue if they want to purchase it, and the business doesn't suit for the current zoning. It takes time to rezone it, and if they go ahead and purchase, there's an element of risk that it may not work out for their type of zoning, and many of them are not willing to take that risk, and they're moving elsewhere. I just like the planning department to have a look at this and see if they can provide recommendations for additional uses in this park. There's still many vacant lots in there. I think there's opportunities if we loosen things up a bit. The E1 zoning allows for government buildings, doctors, lawyers, things of that nature, and they're not getting filled. I'm just looking at some sort of help to fill these vacant lots.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions about this this motion? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I kind of like the idea of looking at the covenants on the, is there still covenants on them? Well, then the permitted use should be expanded if there's no covenant. To include any kind of business operation.
Other comments or questions on this? Councillor Maiden.
I'm just wondering, are we actually debating these motions right now, or is this just a notice of motion?
We're debating them. The and correct me if I'm if I'm off on this, Madam Clerk, but pardon? Oh, sure.
Yeah, so when we amended our procedural bylaw, when the notice of motion appears on our agenda for Committee of the Whole, it gets debated at Committee of the Whole level that evening and then goes up to Council the following. If someone introduces a notice of motion verbally, it's just you're introducing it verbally, and then it'll appear on the next Committee of the Whole.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions on the business park motion? Councillor Maiden.
The only comment I have is that a lot of the business park is over the water protection area, so I would hope that staff would keep that in mind when they're reviewing the usage.
Mm-hmm. Anything further? So you'd like to move your motion?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Maiden. Any further discussion? All those in favor? And that carries. I'll pass it back to you.
Okay. Thank you. So we're on G4, Councillor Holmes' motion, safety on gravel roads. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. So I've received quite a number of complaints related to people trying to walk on the gravel roads and being hit by stones and stuff by cars that are going quite fast. You know, people are asking for some kind of measures to calm the traffic. I do realize that the speed limit is 80 kilometers an hour, and often, you know, there has been speed spies put out on some of these roads, and it's been determined that they're not going over 80 kilometers an hour. But when you're walking on a small, on a little road, you know, that's and certainly not paved and has gravel on it with a couple kids, and someone passes you at 80 kilometers an hour, it certainly can seem like they're speeding. So the other problem we have is that we have no way of enforcing speed limits. As Councillor Ferguson has pointed out on numerous times. So I'm really asking for the Public Works Department to really look at some investigate maybe some solutions, whether it be putting up signs or, you know, hopefully they, we have included Vision Zero in our strat plan as a way to improve some safety. So hopefully we can have some solutions brought forward by our Public Works that'll help to make the road safer for people, you know, who are out walking or bicycling or whatever on them. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. So you're going to move that motion?
I am.
Seconder, please. Councillor Girard. Questions or comments? Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. Yes, Councillor Holmes and I discussed it, and I think she now inserted the word investigate, because as we're well aware, there is a lot of background required specifically for it. Speed is one, of course. The accidents, the perception of speeding, and the enforcement. So all of that has to be included, I believe, in Councillor Holmes' wording specifically to investigate, because that's going to be time-consuming, obviously, and there is situations where we have in the past had moving signs, and I'm not suggesting it could happen again, but we have moved signs where there were specific requests for children playing situations or different scenarios, be it on a specific corner or something like that, where we have identified, you know, corners. So I think there is good reason to investigate, and I think that will lead into all of the other discussions that we've had specifically to this.
Okay. Any more questions, comments? Okay. All in favor of this motion? That's carried. Councillor Holmes, motion again, MVCA funding for water and erosion control infrastructure. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. So what is happening is there's two dams in the upper Mississippi Valley watershed that are over 100 years old and in real bad need of some repairs and replacement. And there is a program available called the Water Erosion Control Program that was started in, I think, 2005 and has something like $5 million in it for the whole province, for maintaining these dams. So the authority has been trying to get money from it, but without success. And you know, this past year there was 102 project submissions for a total of $19 million. So $5 million got used up real quickly, and if we don't get some funding from the government to help pay for these dams, it's going to fall on the municipalities, because they certainly are instrumental in flood control and whatnot downstream. So we do need to make sure that these dams are looked after. So what the authority is asking is that municipalities write letters to the Ontario government supporting their request to have the WICI funding increased and the grant approval criteria revised to reflect, you know, today's environment and not the environment of 2005. So that's what this motion is about.
Okay, you're going to move the motion.
I'll move it.
And seconder? Mayor Lowry? Comments and questions, please. Mayor Lowry?
I just want to add a fact that really drove this home when the MVCA sent the information to Councillor Holmes and I. The applications for funding that the MVCA put in for 2020 for the two major dams that needed replacement, the requests were for $550,000, and that represents over 10% of the province's total funding in this program. So it just kind of gives you a sense. They haven't updated that funding since 2003, and it's long due for the province to take a look at that, I think. So thank you for bringing this forward, Councillor Holmes.
You're welcome.
Councillor Ferguson.
Thank you. I'm assuming that the City of Ottawa has bought into this, since we're only a bit player in it. I'm assuming the City of Ottawa is going to be the major and certainly will come up with the same type of resolution, I would hope.
They have all the municipalities have been asked to send in a request.
Good, thank you.
And my understanding is that they're all going to play in it.
Good, thanks.
Any more questions or comments? All in favor of this motion? It's carried. We're on to information items.
Excuse me? Sorry.
Sorry. Oh.
I have a verbal notice of motion.
Okay. Councillor Mayne, go ahead.
And I gave a written copy of it to the clerk, so she has it. And notice of motion will be on, I guess, the next committee of the whole. It's about the cost-sharing agreement with Carleton Place. And reads as follows: whereas Mississippi Mills maintains two libraries and two arenas, as well as other cultural and recreational facilities, and whereas Mississippi Mills has contributed to the Carleton Place Culture and Recreation cost-sharing agreement since amalgamation for their library, pool, and arena, with increases of 8%, 8.2%, 9.4%, and 12% just in the last 4 years, for an increase of approximately $50,000 from 2016 and totaling more than $1 million in the last 8 years. And whereas the province of Ontario has clarified that the establishment of a library services agreement by a municipality for library services with another municipality when it has established its own library board is inconsistent with the Public Library Act. And whereas on February 18, 2020, the Mississippi Mills Public Library Board communicated its wish to terminate the library cost-sharing agreement in preference to fiscally effective reciprocal sharing agreements with its neighbors. And whereas the premise for cost-sharing agreements are generally to support services in one municipality, which another municipality does not have but uses exclusively. And whereas the cost-sharing agreement abrogates council's authority, control, and management of its expenditures to third parties, therefore be it resolved that the Mississippi Mills Council terminate the cost-sharing or, quotes, Howard Allen agreement effective immediately. That's it.
Thank you. So that was a verbal notice of motion, and it'll be discussed at the next Committee of the Whole. So we'll move down to information items. The first three we don't have. H4, information lists. Mover and seconder for the information lists. Okay.
Just for information, the Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority report.
Oh, okay.
It's actually available on the information list as item 6. We just got it into the wrong spot. So it is there.
Okay. You don't need a mover and seconder for that, right? So, any question or comments on the MVCA report? No, we'll move down to information list. The recommended motion to receive it. So, I need a mover and a seconder for the information list. Councillor Mayden. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, starts on page 198. Does anybody want to pull any of these? Councillor Holmes?
Item number 3.
Oh, sorry. Microphone, and then just repeat that.
Yeah. I'd like to pull item number 2, item number 4, and item number 7 and 18.
Anybody else? Okay, all in favor to receive the information list?
Can I pull number 10 for next week, please?
Yep. Anybody else? We're all good? So all in favor to receive the information list? That's carried. Page 260, meeting calendars. Any additions or modifications? Just give you a minute to have a look. Councilor Maiden?
Just to say that the Mississippi Mills Library Board is meeting tomorrow, August 12th, at 3 p.m.
Anybody else? Other new business? Nothing on there. Pending list, page 262. Questions or comments on the pending list? Nothing said. Mover and seconder for adjournment. Mayor Lowry, Councilor Maiden, all in favor? We are adjourned. You too.
Yeah.
After 8, that's not too bad.
Send to the white box that says do not remove.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's like riding a bike.
I can't unplug it?
No, do not unplug it.